JFK, Kennedy assassination. The story continues, and we have another perspective with a guest that is a former colonel in the British intelligence. We have retired Colonel John Hughes Wilson talking about his book, JFK, An American Coup d'Etat, The Truth Behind the Kennedy Assassination. We're going to talk about why Marilyn Monroe had to be silenced, LBJ's corrupt secrets, Kennedy's secret Cuban coup plans, and so much more. It's going to be an interesting show, and we want to welcome to Truth Be Told for the first time, retired Colonel John Hughes Wilson.
Good evening from the not-so-sunny Cyprus.
I know, and I'm excited to have you here. It took me forever to finally get through. I mean, you must be bunkered in, and I'm sure living the life in Cyprus.
Well, it's as good a place to retire as anyway, but January and February are pretty wet and rainy and horrible.
Well, I'm here in Southern California where it's nice and sunny, a little chilly, but for us.
Remembering a song, it's that famous song, hates California, it's cold and it's damp.
Well, John, I'm excited to have you here. We've talked about JFK several times on our show. We're coming up on our 600th broadcast, and we've always had great people on talking about perspectives and their research and their study and books that they've put together about JFK. And when I came across yours, it's kind of a new perspective and a new insight. And I wanted to start off by just saying welcome, and then see how is it different, not the research and the study of a lot of other people's theories?
Well, you have to understand how I came to it.
Yeah, please.
My background is as an intelligence officer, and therefore you don't start off with a hypothesis like a scientist.
Right.
You actually look at it more as a jigsaw. And my UK agent then said that the American agent was interested in, did I have any views on Kennedy? And I said, I'd go and have a look at it. And I came to the conclusion, just doing very ordinary research, looking at a few good books, that there was quite a story to tell, and I didn't know what it was. And that's what got my interest.
So, well, I mean, everybody has their story. And I wasn't born when he was assassinated. I just turned 51, so I was born in 69, right after Robert Kennedy was assassinated. But what was it about even back when it happened? Were you in the military at the time, or at the time were you too young to participate?
Oh no, I was born in 1944.
Oh, so yeah.
So as I always tell people when I'm on the telephone, that makes me very, very old, young man, you know, very, very old. But I was very well aware of what was going on with the Kennedy assassination. In 63, I was at the Royal Military Academy, Sandhurst, and I remember it being a big event at the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it really rocked the world. It changed the world, and I think in a lot of ways it changed the direction of the world history. And I want to know, when you started researching and doing your kind of, was it right, really in depth, or was it mostly just kind of like out of curiosity? Did you just dive into finding this information? Because some of this information is really difficult to really break through. You know, just recently, there was a lot of documentation that was released to the U.S., and there's still stuff that hasn't been released to the public.
Well, the U.S. administrations over the years have squirreled away. The last time I looked, it was up to 1 million documents.
Right.
I think what really aroused my attention was when I came across some obvious lies. And I said it was like putting a jigsaw together. Mm-hmm. And it was quite obvious from the start that, if you go, where did I come in? What's the key that started? I think the Cubans and the Bay of Pigs. The Cubans were hopping mad that the Bay of Pigs had failed.
Right.
They thought that Kennedys had let them down. Kennedy was furious with the CIA, with good reason. He threatened to smash them into 1 million pieces. And I had a friend who was in the CIA Tokyo office, and he admitted to me one evening over a glass of whiskey or several, that when the news came through of Kennedy's assassination, they cheered in the Tokyo office and cracked out the champagne. And I thought, wow, the CIA, never mind the Cubans, the CIA and the Cubans must have really had it in for Kennedy. And that's how I came into this business.
And what was your first big discovery that really, I guess they say, rock your world when it comes to writing the book? What was the first big discovery that you saw besides the applause, but what was the first big, I guess, interesting topic that you said, wow, this could be a game changer?
Well, it was over the Cubans, and it was the discovery that the urgency of the date was that the Kennedys were planning a coup in Cuba for, I think, the 10th of December. And they wanted to overthrow Castro because they were out to get him. And then I discovered that the Cuban exiles were being trained by the CIA,
right,
and they were in part being guided by the people who had been in Havana and Cuba and knew it better than anybody else and being kicked out, the mafia. And so you had this unholy triumvirate, Tony, who were all working together. And I thought, yeah, that's a bit too much. And the more I researched, the more I discovered it was true and that there really was a plan for Kennedy to mount a coup in Cuba.
And how did you get a lot of this information? Was it because you were part of the British intelligence, or was it a lot of just interviewing people that had been retired later on? How did you get this information?
Interesting question. Well, I only started after I left the service.
Oh, okay.
When I turned a professional writer, I've turned out 22 books in total. But this was probably the biggest seller in the States. It's on its sixth edition. And as I went into it, I saw there was a lot of documentation that was kind of lots of little smoking guns which had never been put together,
right,
which is why I used the analogy of the jigsaw. And for example, it became clear very early on that the Texan oil barons, Wall Street, the Federal Reserve, and a lot of people had formed a constituency. And whatever you say about JFK, he was an astonishingly good politician in putting together a constituency. Mm-hmm. But his mistake was, as his mistress, Mary, whatever her name was, who cried out after he was assassinated, that he was going too quickly. His mistake was he put together a constituency of his enemies.
Ah, and that makes sense. I mean, you know, they always say keep your enemies closer, but I don't know. I think that it opened up a door for a clear shot, unfortunately.
Well, the other thing that did it for me was the discovery that George Bush Senior had lied. And he swears blind and swore blind that he was nowhere near Dallas on the day. Well, there's actually a letter on file, which anyone can find in the United States, on the record. I think it's on the Congressional Record. It's a letter from the Director of Central Intelligence, the head of the CIA,
right,
thanking the FBI for the contribution made in Dallas on the 22nd by Mr. George Bush. Senior. And I thought, hang on, how can he say he had nothing to do with the CIA when he was acting as a CIA agent of some sort? And then I looked into the Bush family links to the CIA, and any American can see this by digging in the files. It's actually quite deep and profound.
So you're saying in some ways, even the Bush family, well, at least George Bush Sr., had possibly had something to do with his assassination, or at least took part
I think
in
he
it.
Was certainly aware of it.
Maybe
I
not.
Think he was certainly aware of it. And the other thing that comes out of it, the other people who were aware of it, were the Texas oil barons who were jumping, hopping mad because Kennedy had got rid of the oil depletion allowance, which, of course, robbed them the fact they could write off every dry hole.
Right.
And they got together and were in cahoots with their man in Washington, LBJ, and LBJ knew what was going on, and LBJ was great chums with J. Edgar Hoover. So the more I dug, the deeper it got, and I realized that Hoover and Johnson both knew what was going on.
Well, let's break this down a little bit. So let's start with LBJ. So I know Kennedy and him did not have the greatest relationship.
He called him Uncle Cornpone, by the way.
Right. And I know he pretty much got rid of Bobby very quickly. So the LGB corrupt secrets, this is part of your tag. What is some of the secrets that he had during the, I guess, this time when he was assassinated, when Kennedy was assassinated?
Well, first of all, LBJ was as corrupt as he could be. And he was basically the Texas money elite guy in Washington. And he was the guy who hosed federal dollars in to help Texas. And so he and Dryhole Bird and all the other gang of Texan oil barons, They were in cahoots right from the start. And if you dig into Johnson's background long before he became vice president, it's pretty murky stuff.
Oh yeah, well yeah, and why do you? And just not off the topic, but why do you think that he did not run again?
I think because now that's an interesting question. The answer is, Tony, to be perfectly blunt, I don't know, but I suspect it was because he realized that with Vietnam and the fact that Kennedy had said he would drop him as his running mate for the next election, which was just coming up, as you know, and LBJ quickly, or he was going to be indicted by the House.
Got it. Yeah, that would make sense, because I always wondered why, you know, after doing the civil rights and because he really didn't get much opportunity in office, that's why I thought he'll definitely run again. And I knew Bobby wanted to run, but I didn't. I wasn't born then, so I don't know if he was going to run against LBJ. And LBJ, yeah, there's a lot of speculation about why that is. So,
Tony, if you check the record, you'll find there was a congressional inquiry into LBJ's misdeeds, and it was supposed to have its first meeting the 22nd. 1963, an important date. And when the news came through of the assassination, it was shelved and postponed.
And now I want to switch to this, because this one is definitely part of history. And I mean, Marilyn Monroe, of course, and Kennedy had an affair. Bobby and Marilyn had an affair, and Marilyn had affairs with a lot of different people, mobsters and so I'm curious to see why you feel that do you feel that Marilyn was assassinated, taken out, or do you feel it was just a drug overdose that a bad mishap?
Well, I think she was taken out, and if you read the chapter of the book very carefully, because that's based on very solid evidence. Bobby Kennedy was certainly there on the day, because he stopped on, I think, I've not been to California, I've only been west of the Missouri, Mississippi. I think it was called Ocean Drive. Mm-hmm. On the night in question, he is stopped by a state policeman rushing to the heliport, and there's a report of a helicopter taking off, and by early next morning, he's back in North California, going to church. But he's definitely in the area of Marilyn Monroe's house, and there are lots of other reports. You only have to look at it. I thought she was killed personally by what they call a hot shot, which is a jab between the toes or in the pubic hair area. But I just don't know.
I actually had the opportunity. I was very a friend of mine. They were redoing their house here in Los Angeles. And they actually needed a place to stay. And her friend actually bought Marilyn Monroe's home that she died in. And they rented right. it from her for a year because normally she said, I usually don't because people all the time want to rent it. But she says, because you're close friends. So I had an opportunity to actually go into her home where she passed away. It was kind of very, very kind of weary and kind of a crazy feeling to walk into a home that was such, you know, such historical significance.
Yes, I can understand that.
Yeah.
And I would be, I mean, I'm not spooky. I, you know, spent 31 years in the army.
Right.
And I'm not easily spooked, but I would feel slightly uncomfortable dossing down in a house where someone like Marilyn Monroe was probably killed.
Right. And so do you feel that, because there was a lot of people that, you know, a lot of people said that she, you know, with mobsters killed her, Kennedys killed her. Do you think it was, the Kennedys, or do you think it could have been the mobsters too? Because they, you know, because she, I'm sure, you know, they call it bedtime stories where they share a lot of information when you're in bed with somebody and getting intimate. So how do you think the mobsters possibly could have had something to do with it too, or no?
Well, I wouldn't know, Tony. I wouldn't know anything about intimate pillow talk with ladies in bed. So I couldn't possibly comment. However, I think Marilyn knew far too much, and she had to be silenced. I think she was silenced by a mob hit, which was set up by the Kennedys, who wanted her silenced because, remember, this happened, I think, over the weekend, and on the Monday morning, she right. had said she was going to give a press conference to the world and go public about the Kennedys. I mean, we're talking facts here.
Right, facts, yeah. And But was at this time, because I also know the Kennedys kind of, at least John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy especially, started really pissing off, as we like to say, the mob. For, you know, starting to put a lot of the mobsters in jail and prosecution. When did that start to switch?
Well, that's a very good, yeah, I got your point. That comes through a guy called Marcello. And most Americans and all Europeans are convinced that the mob and the mafia is a New York-Chicago thing.
Right.
Well, of course, it isn't. It started when it came in initially through Sicily, through the Deep South, through New Orleans.
Right.
And at the time, 1963, the boss of bosses was a guy called Carlos Marcello, and he was the capo di tutti capi in the South. And he was the guy who took out the contract
right.
on John Kennedy because the Kennedys had been elected because of mafia votes up in
exactly.
Chicago, what's that, Ohio? They'd been elected by the mafia votes. And the mafia felt, and I can understand why, that when Bobby started to go for the mob, he was, in the mafia's words, talking out of both sides of his mouth. He double-crossed the mob. And so Marcello decided that there'd be a contract taken out to whack Bobby Kennedy. And then he said later, and this is a matter of record, it's easily checked, he said, what's the old Sicilian proverb? If you want to stop the dog barking, you don't chop its tail off, you chop its head off. And he transferred the contract to John Kennedy.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that definitely, if people don't know the history, check it out, because that is true. And that's the thing. I think a lot of people get into a position, and, you know, a lot of people help, you know, even in the presidency. It's not one person. It takes a lot of people to get someone elected. A lot of behind the scenes. And I'm sure it's the same way with prime ministers, too. You know, there's a lot of wheeling and dealing behind the scenes to get somebody in office.
Well, at this particular moment, Tony, being a friend of America and Americans, I will not comment anything on what's going on in American politics at the moment.
It's probably smart to say that. I want to go to Lee Harvey Oswald. The lone man that killed Kennedy, the lone man that was a perfect shot, you know, the rounds, you know, quickly killed Kennedy. But as we know that in a lot of people, I mean, I grew up in Kansas. I grew up shooting, hunting, shooting guns, rifles, shotguns, pretty much. It's pretty obvious that it was not one man that shot this president.
You're quite right. And if you were brought up in the Midwest, then you're used to using a bolt-action rifle, correct?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, deer hunting.
You know, and I know, that a bolt-action rifle, even a good one like a Lee Enfield or one of the better Springfields, you cannot get off three aimed shots at a moving target in 5.4 seconds.
Exactly.
It cannot be done. And the best sniper, Hathcock, I think he was, in the United States Marine Corps, tried to replicate the shot, and he couldn't do it. And when you think the rifle in question was supposed to be a Mannlicher Carcano, the Italian rifle, which had a top action bolt, not a side action that you and I are used to, had a top action bolt. So he had to come out of the aim, pull the bolt up, pull it back, slide a new round in, pull it down, aim and fire. You can't do three shots in 5.4 seconds.
No, there is no way. And how, that's what gets me. And I think that's, you know, I'm sure we're going to talk about it here in a second, that Oswald did not come across as the most intelligent man. I mean, he was very like an activist and a, you know, protester and all that stuff. But he didn't come across to me as a very intelligent man. Maybe he was, but he definitely was a patsy, and I'm sure that's why they got rid of him. But why?
No, you're absolutely right. He was an absolute patsy.
So why do you think whoever the American government or whoever did this, that they think the American people would believe this? I mean, now it's what, 60 years later. Well, now, and we still can't really get an answer, and we're still been told, oh no, it's one man. Why do you think the government would keep that from us after all these years? Because most everybody that was involved are gone.
Yeah, I think it's reasons of state, and I think that's why my publisher said, when he read the manuscript, he put it down and took his glasses off, and there was a long silence, and he said, what you're describing here, John, is a coup d'etat. And I said, no, it was just an assassination. He said, no, this is a coup d'etat to remove the head of state. And we talked about it, and that's why I've included that. Now, you've got to remember two things. Mm-hmm. First of all, when the Warren Commission came out, everyone knows it was a whitewash, and we know it's a whitewash, and America knows it's whitewash. How do we know? Because Richard Nixon, on his tape, has the famous phrase, he roars with laughter and says the Warren Commission was the biggest hoax ever committed on the American people. And that's the president on the record. And the second point is, when the Russians, who were terrified they'd get the blame, and rushed to say, no, it wasn't us, Dov, it wasn't us, Gov, honestly, it wasn't us, please don't nuke Moscow. They set up a commission, and it reported to the Presidium, the Politburo, about a year later, and it said to the Presidium, a serious inquiry by the KGB, we have got evidence that this was a American coup d'etat. That's what they called it.
So why? Where's that information? How come that never surfaced?
You can access the KGB report. If you get onto Kremlin records, they'll happily supply you with a copy.
Did you reach out to them and get the copy, or was it just?
Yes, I got the copy that referred to that part. Yes, of course.
Wow.
That's how I knew.
Wow, yeah, it's and there's people in the chat room that are definitely interested in this, and I want to ask a few questions. We may have kind of touched on a few things, and then I'll get back to our little conversation. But easy. 417 says, Colonel John, do you know if it's true that about JFK wanting to abolish the CIA and open a direct dialogue with Khrushchev for ending the Cold War?
That's two questions, and the first answer is correct. When he heard about the snafu, and you'll know what a snafu is, of the Bay of Pigs, Kennedy went incandescent with rage and said he wanted to smash the CIA into 1,000 pieces and form a completely new one. And he, as you know, got rid of Alan Dulles, the long-term chief. So the answer to that is yes. And what was the second point exactly?
And he wanted to open a direct dialogue with Khrushchev.
Yes, he wanted, right towards the end, Kennedy, I think he makes a speech, his last public speech, which I think he makes at a university, when he talks about opening a dialogue one-to-one with Khrushchev in the Kremlin. And that alarmed certainly the Pentagon hawks and some people in state.
If you think about it, it's amazing that I can understand in the 1800s, maybe even early 1900s, how a president of the United States would be assassinated. But it's early 1960s and on, it's really hard to believe that we allowed something like this to happen.
That's true. And one of the problems we have with conspiracy theories, and it's a serious one, people, academics particularly, tend to poo-poo. It's a conspiracy theory. No one believes in conspiracy theories. To which the point is, I always say when that comes up, so you don't believe there was a conspiracy to kill Julius Caesar. You don't believe there was a conspiracy to shoot Lincoln.
Right.
And you don't believe that there was a conspiracy to hang Mary, Queen of Scots.
Right.
And they say, well, of course they were conspiracies. Everybody knows that. Well, conspiracy goes on to this day.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And I think a lot of them, just like with, you know, with Lincoln, you know, it's like, oh, one lone man killed. No.
Rubbish.
It's a lot. Rubbish. It takes a lot of, like I said, it's like even getting elected, it takes a lot of people. But even, you know, to get rid of a high ranking politician or leader, it takes a lot of work and a lot of people just to make that happen. So, yeah.
Yep.
All right. So back to Lee Harvey. So when he was arrested, and then when they took him out, do you think Lee Harvey knew that he would get assassinated? Because I mean, to be able to say you're going to be the patsy, or do you think he even knew about it at the beginning?
Oh, he was definitely scared. There was a very famous American woman who died in mysterious circumstances. And she was a great star of a show called What's My Line? And she went down and she got a one-on-one interview with Lee Harvey Oswald while he was being held. And he begged her to get me back to Washington. I'll tell everything I know when I get back to Washington. Hmm. And they said, well, why do you want to go to Washington? What's wrong with the state of Texas, the great state of Texas? And he said, they'll get me in Texas. I've got to get out of Texas. Hmm. And he tells the head of the Dallas police detectives who interviews him and then loses his notes. He tells this woman, I can't remember her name. She's a very famous panelist on What's My Line and died in odd circumstances. So he knows he's at risk down there in the deep south.
I think I remember that journalist. What was her name? Oh, my gosh, I can't.
She's a very famous one. It might have been Mary something.
I'll have to look it up. But, yeah, I remember. And wasn't she murdered also?
Well, she died in mysterious circumstances.
Well.
And she was very influential. She had a column in one of the Washington newspapers that everyone used to read. Very influential.
In fact, I'm getting to that age where my memory is going, but I think I did do a show about that, and it was a mysterious, a lot of people said that she was murdered, but, you know, there's no solid proof. So
I've never followed up on that.
Yeah. But all right. So, well, after John Kennedy was assassinated, Lyndon B. Johnson was made president. And then when he decided not to run again, Nixon took over. And it's a good point. Somebody in the chat room said, in a way, they took Nixon out too, because with the Watergate, they removed him from office. I don't know if you've done any research about that, or what do you think about that they may have, you know, removed him from office too once he kind of agreed on the JFK?
Well, you're taking me off my
expertise
thoughts there.
There.
I don't know. Well, yes, you are. I've not done any research into Nixon other than the stuff that I did for the JFK book. And in the JFK book, I did establish that he had much too close links with the mob. The mob regarded him as a safe pair of hands, and the mob paid his gambling debts in Cuba on one occasion. And he was very friendly with mob members. Now, that's all I really know about Nixon in that kind of sense. But he wasn't called Tricky Dicky for nothing.
Right, right. And it, by the way, it was Dorothy Kilgallen.
That's the girl. Yeah, you're quite right. That's the woman.
Thanks to Debbie in the chat room there.
You've got good advisors there.
That's, we do. We do have some great ones. So with John Kennedy gone, and I know even Mrs. Kennedy, Jacqueline Kennedy, I think that she probably knew something after the fact, because didn't she say something about they killed him?
She did, but the real person who is broken and muzzled and silenced is Bobby Kennedy.
Yes.
Because Bobby Kennedy says they killed him. He's quite open. He knows what's happened. And one of the reasons I suspect, and I don't know, I don't think anyone ever will know, one of the reasons after the death of his brother that he kind of shuts up and he goes quiet,
right,
I suspect threats were made against him and his family. We gave this to Jack. You keep your mouth shut, boy, or this is going to happen to you. Wow. And remember, the first contract, the first mafia contract, which Hoffa actually is on record as backing up, was to get Bobby Kennedy.
Well, because we were talking about the CIA, but let's bring up the FBI. So
yep.
Let's
So
tell us about Hoover. You would think that, you know, he would be out to help, even though he didn't like the Kennedys, his job would help to protect the Kennedys, as a political leader. Why didn't they step in and help out to stop this?
Well, the answer is very simple. Kennedy had J. Edgar Hoover's measure right from the start, and he wanted to get rid of him. And there's a very famous interview, which is well recorded in American literature, where Jack Kennedy, sends for J. Edgar Hoover, and he intends to remove him from office,
right,
as a corrupt, rather crooked old fraud. Now, J. Edgar Hoover had files, his confidential files, and he knew more dirt on Washington and politicians than we can even begin to imagine. He'd been doing this stuff for 30 years. And the meeting to sack him lasted, I think it lasted 4 hours, and he comes out with his job secure. And I can't prove this, but all the evidence is that he knew enough on Jack Kennedy and the Kennedys to blackmail him into forcing him to keep him in office.
Mm. Wow.
And remember, who did J. Edgar Hoover go on holiday with regularly?
Right.
LBJ.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, you say sometimes, like you can't make this crap up. I mean, because it's like,
that's exactly right.
It's hard. It's like
you just have to join the dots, Tony. Right. You just have to join the dots.
Right, right. It's just like how did this is like a bad movie. You're like, this can't be true, but this is part of our history. This is part of our history. All right, well, if ever you get the chance, right,
get your people to get hold of the KGB report, because that will really open eyes. Never been published in the States.
Well, I found that interesting that they actually, did their own research, did their own investigation, so they can prove that it wasn't them. So that was interesting.
That's right, because don't forget, the minute he was shot, Jack Kennedy shot, there were jets scrambled to go and bomb Cuba, and they were turned round at the last minute and sent back home again. The hawks in the Kremlin, the hawks in the Pentagon, were really out to hammer the Red Skis and do them. And the Russians were terrified, because the Russians knew that when Puyush came to shove, boy, they hadn't a prayer against America at the time.
Right. Even though they acted like they did.
Well, they did. They were never in the same league in the 60s and 70s. Kennedy talked about a missile gap. The missile gap was between the Kremlin and the U.S. The U.S. was totally in charge.
Well, this has always been fascinating to me, and a lot of people that listen to our show, it's and I think this is until the day that we finally know the truth, you know, this is always going to be there. If it's 100 years from now, it's like, you know, it's even like with the Lincoln's assassination, we're still talking about it to this day.
Yep.
You know, because it is a, you know, president of the United States, but it's also just people want to know the truth. And that's why, truth be told, we started just to actually get, you know, get the truth out there. And we bring people on like yourself and do, you know, that you went out to seek the truth. And we hope people get out there and do their own research and learn from it. We just have a few minutes left.
Can I add one thing, Tony?
Please do.
That we haven't touched on. Yes. Look at the three American presidents who were assassinated. Do you know what links them together they all have in common?
Well, I know,
I'll tell you.
Well, I know Lincoln.
They all,
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, McKinley,
right.
Lincoln, and Kennedy.
Right.
They all wanted to get their hands and control the currency away from the money man. Kennedy wants to take it away from the Federal Reserve. Look at his executive order to publish silver certificates. Excuse me. McKinley decides to bring money under his presidential control. And Lincoln decides, well, he does. He issues his own greenbacks. And the power of money, the one thing that got Woodrow Wilson to commit to paper, there's an invisible force out there more powerful than any president. Right. The power of money in the states is, I think, what did for Jack Kennedy. When he tried to remove the power from the 12 big private banks that make up the Federal Reserve, he signed his own death warrant. I believe that. I can't prove it.
What's funny is Blue Sky in our chat room said the exact same thing earlier. And so good job, Blue Sky.
To remember that in America, the dollar... The dollar, in a way that Europeans never quite understand, has a dominant place in American life because it's one of only three things that joins America together, the Constitution, a language, and the new almighty dollar.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see because, you know, eventually the dollar may not and probably won't be the dominant currency. So I'm curious to see how things go down when that happens.
Well, you can always tell the minute they start pricing oil in anything other than dollars, there'll be trouble.
Right. And I think that's where America's going to definitely change its course in history. So hopefully that won't happen, but it looks like it's going that way. But John, how do people find you? How do people, I know you can then go to Amazon, but where else can they find you and pick up your books and see more information about you?
I'm on Google. You can look me up on Google easily enough. And as I say, JFK, an American coup d'etat, is on its, I think it's 6th reprint in the United States. So
wow.
It's there.
And so,
hello?
Oh, I'm here. I just wanted to make sure you're okay there.
Well, I've only just come out of hospital, so I'm choking and spluttering a little.
Yeah, that's okay. You did. Listen, this stuff is always interesting to me, and you did a great job putting this book together. Please, people, go on Amazon, or I think your website, is that johnhugheswilson.co.uk?
It is.
Yeah.
Just send checks.
Yeah, checks. Yeah. don't send dollars. We appreciate you for being part of the Truth Be Told. And I wanted to make an announcement for people, and then we're going to make a bigger official announcement. Starting in January, Truth Be Told is now going to be on WCRN TV 13 in Boston. So. I know. So now you can start watching. They're going to be doing a couple of marathons about old Truth Be Told episodes and the newer ones. So please, if you're in a Boston area, please check it out on WCRN TV 31. So John, I appreciate you, and please come back anytime. You're always welcome.
Tony, it's been a pleasure, and it's always a privilege to be given the opportunity to address an American audience. Thank you.
Oh, anytime, sir. All right, everybody, this is Tony Sweet. For Truth Be Told, we love you guys for tuning in, spreading the word, sharing this, and we always want to hear about who you want to hear about. Any topics, conspiracy theory, paranormal, UFO, any of that stuff, we're going to touch on it. So until next time, I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Take care.